Would you like to attach a face to that voice? When you subscribe to the Book Interrupted YouTube channel, you get to see everybody, as well as check out a bunch of extra Book Interrupted videos and music content. Visit the Book Interrupted YouTube channel to see what you've been missing.
Parental guidance is recommended because this episode has mature topics and strong language. Here are some moments you can look forward to during this episode of Book Interrupted. We're talking to Joe Hilliard, and he's going to tell us about his book, The Last Keeper.
Coming of age story for a young man who's finding his way as a prophet.
And there's another one coming out. I was going to ask you that. So there's going to be four.
Yep.
That will be the last one in the series.
And I've been able to license the intellectual property from the series for the creation of a video game. That's the lesson I learned from this in the beginning is as epic fantasy goes, it is really, really hard to keep pace.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And he's called the Black Rose because he leaves a single Black Rose on everybody that he kills. The people that he's purposefully out to kill, put it that way.
You can have some hope for at least those two characters.
That's right.
Right.
Everybody else, I'm not making any guarantees.
I like it.
To read a book is the goal. I want to learn something new. Disrupted mind, body, soul. Inspiration is the goal, and we're gonna talk it out on book interrupted.
Welcome to the author's spotlight. During these mini episodes, we have authors come on and tell us about their books and why we should read them. Let's listen. On this episode, we're talking to Joe Hilliard, and he's going to tell us about his book, The Last Keeper. Hi, Joe. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate the opportunity and looking forward to our conversation.
Great. So why don't you tell us about your book and why we should read it?
Happy to. So The Last Keeper is a hero's journey. If you're a fan of Star Wars and Luke Skywalker or Harry Potter and J.K. Rowling's series, it's a fantasy adventure, right, at its core. And if you're a fan of epic fantasy like Tolkien and Lord of the Rings, or you like Game of Thrones, that's the setting for this. I have the realm of Warminster, which is my version of Middle Earth or Westeros, and my creatures and characters and races are all unique to that. It takes Daemys, the main character, through his own personal hero's journey. And in part, it's a coming of age story for a young man who's finding his way as a prophet. And he has these horrific sights, these visions of one of his own sect, a fallen keeper, returning to take revenge on that sect. But there's an entire world built around that. I get very immersive. I like to be descriptive, but also leave room for you to kind of create your own world out of what I've given you. As part of that, Daemys goes on a bit of a false prophet versus chosen one hero's journey. And you know, if you like that kind of stuff with harrowing adventure and a lot of battles and cool and unique magic systems, I think you'll like the Realm of Warminster and the Warminster Saga in general.
Great. And so, yeah, so it's a series. So this is the first book in the series, and there's two other books in the series. Is that right?
There's three currently out, and a fourth, which will be the final one in the quadrilogy, will come out here in May, called Echoes of Ghostwood. But you're right, Last Keeper is the first in the series, yes.
And there's another one coming out. I was going to ask you that. So there's going to be four.
Yep.
That will be the last one in the series.
That's correct. The Echoes of Ghostwood releases in May of 2024, and that will close out the series.
Great. And then I noticed also there's a spinoff book. So that spinoff book, is it going to have its own series, or is it just a one-off?
There are going to be several spinoff books from the series. We've been blessed with, you know, folks, the first two books in the series, both Last Keeper and Morden's Lair, were Amazon bestsellers. And I've been able to license the intellectual property from the series for the creation of a video game and a graphic novel series that comes from that. So there'll be an adaptation to both those forms of media. But you're right. You know, we've got, you know, the first three books are out and the last one, and then we'll wrap up the series. And then beyond that, we've got a couple of spinoffs from some of the more popular characters in the novels. And I'm trying to tell a bit of their origin stories. I get a lot of that at conventions that I go to or book signings. People ask me all the time to kind of tell me the backstories. And so while I'm writing the next trilogy, which won't be released until 2025, I'm releasing a couple of stories this year and a couple of stories early next year that will be shorter in size, but kind of give a glimpse behind the curtain to some of the more popular characters in the series.
Oh, that's great. And I had a question, being that I have read the book. So what is a keeper exactly?
So a keeper is a prophet. The full term is the keepers of the forbidden, and they belong to a sect, a religious sect known as the Divine Protectorate of Erud. And Erud is the god of knowledge. And so that ancient, which is my term for God in my realm, the ancients bestow a variety of prophecies and oracular magic upon just a chosen few. And those are known as the keepers of this forbidden knowledge or keepers of the forbidden. And so, you know, the keepers go through a series of training, very similar to what perhaps the maesters would have done in George R. R. Martin's, you know, Game of Thrones, except they're a little bit more scientific. These guys are a little bit more magic based with this knowledge, and they see it in a variety of different ways. In Damus's case, his visions come to him in his dreams. You know, his dreams become a nightmare when he sees one of his own sect who was cursed by their god for using his power of foresight in a way to benefit himself. And we learn a little bit more about that as the series rolls out. And so he's coming back to take revenge. And Damus is the only keeper that can see his return, hence the last keeper.
Oh, I like that. And then I see that there is an elfin princess named Adelin. And so she helps him.
That is correct. So Adelin Elspeth is a Vermilion elf. So if you're familiar with the sort of Tolkien elves, this is my spin on a lot of that. They're kind of tropey. You'll find elves in most forms of fantasy. So I've created my own version of a few types of elves. And Adelin is part of the Vermilion, which is the elves that are sort of at the top of the cast of elves throughout the series. And, you know, she ventures from beyond her alabaster walls of this magical city to go into the Coventry, as they call it, which is the rest of the world where, you know, people in her culture see them as lessers. As Adelin finds out, they're really not. They just live differently. And she goes out and on her own discovers some of the things that have been hidden from her as part of her diplomatic missions. She's open-minded enough to kind of really start to accept outside culture and its influence and some of the things that she has to decide to come from that too. But Adelin has her own quest of her own. There's a Tetrine, which is a two-horned unicorn that finds her and speaks to her telepathically. The mayor is trying to get her to assist her in the fulfillment of her quest. And it's her quest and Damus's quest to come together throughout the four-book series to kind of give you the plot arcs as things come together. It's her solving her riddle and Damus solving his. And together they come together to do it as a team.
Oh, that's great. And they go through the whole series.
They do.
To the end.
They do. Not to, oh, no great. Spoiler alerts. Not
right,
everybody.
Obviously.
That's okay. Yeah, there's a spin of dark fantasy in my novels. So the good guys don't always win. So characters you see in book one or two don't make it through to book three and four sometimes. But, you know, if you read the blurbs on all four covers, you're going to see Damus and Adelin's name on there. So they kind of make it to at least book four, and I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, so there is some, you can have some hope for at least those two characters.
That's right.
Right.
Everybody else, I'm not making any guarantees.
I like it. So when I was looking up your book, it was saying it's sci-fi, it's fantasy, it's adventure series. What would you classify your book as?
I would classify the Warminster Saga as epic fantasy meets dark fantasy. So if you're a fan of sword and sorcery or everything that's involved with classical fantasy adventure, you'll find a lot of that in here. The epic side really kind of denotes that it has a past, a future, and a present. You learn a lot about that. It is a longer read. Most of my books will put you into, you know, 150,000 words or more. And, you know, frankly, they're going to be a very long series that comes from it. So you can immerse yourself into the world building that I do, everything from, you know, the pantheon of gods to the governance of people, to the currency they use, to the monsters that are there, to the challenges that are there. And they're unique to the realm. Like I mentioned before, some of the tropish stuff that you'll get typically in fantasy. So that's really what you'll find. And I do put a little spin of sci-fi in there. I have a city known as Abacus, which is a scholar city, which advances some forms of technology, but it's not like laser guns and spaceships. It's, you know, something that might move a culture from a medieval fantasy into a Renaissance fantasy. And, you know, but it shows some level of advancement on a scientific front that I think will satisfy those sci-fi readers to know that there is that piece of this where you don't see that really in Tolkien or even in Martin. I use it as an example all the time that Jon Snow was the 999th guardian on the wall, and he's still using a sword and a shield and riding a horse. Like, there's zero advancement, you know, for them in many respects. In my realm, there's a little bit. And so the good guys and the bad guys get a chance to use this technology to advance their causes throughout the series.
That's great. I was wondering, so this book series, would you say it's could someone recommend it to their teenager, or is it adult only? Where would you classify that? Because we have a lot of readers that have children. So I was just wondering, where would you put your book if someone was interested in getting the series for their child because they love fantasy or sci-fi?
Yeah, I would rate it as advanced young adult. You know, when you look at the categories that my book falls in, it's an adult book, but it's like Star Wars. It's PG-13. You're not going to find anything that's that would turn off anybody that's, you know, 13 or higher. They're going to see battle scenes and there's death and there's adult situations, but there's nothing that that age that they would not have seen or at least know about. But there's nothing that I shy away from using vulgarity or open door sex stuff. I mean, that I know that's popular in a lot of today's contemporary fantasy and sci-fi, and I allude to it, but it's nothing that if you have a 13-year-old son or daughter that you would be upset about them reading in the novels. It's pretty clean from that perspective. So if they're watching Star Wars and Star Trek, they can read The Realm of Warminster.
Okay, great. Perfect. So your next book's coming out when again?
Yeah, the final book, known as The Echoes of Ghostwood, will be released in May of 2024 with a date to be determined. I'll probably know that here in the next 10 days. And then, you know, it will be available pretty much ubiquitously. I mean, my stuff is audiobook, ebook, and, you know, hardback, paperback. You can order them from Dragon Moon Press, my publisher. You can also get them if you're an Amazon shopper. You can get them on Amazon. If you download them from Audible or any of the 20 distribution channels that are out there for audiobooks and ebooks, you can find them there. You can find them in your local Barnes and Noble.
That's great. For our listeners, you can also find a link for his book on our website at www.bookinterrupted.com. If you go to the shop, there's a section called the Author Spotlight, and you can find his book there. And if you click on that link, then you'll be able to see the entire series because it'll pop you right to Amazon. So you have a video game coming out. You have the four books. So when I went on the spinoff, I went to the spinoff book that you talked about before. It said it shows you one short episode at a time. What does that mean?
Yeah. When I started writing it as a Kindle Vella episode. And if you're familiar with the serialization that they do on Kindle Vella, there are some limitations to the length in which you can publish them. And so what I did was once a week for almost 40 weeks, I published a new episode. So, you know, thematically, it was very episodic. And what I did was it was part one of what will ultimately be a part three trilogy. And I'm now downloading it, smoothing it out, editing it, and putting it into something that will launch as its own product. And instead of working through my traditionally published channels through Dragon Moon Press, I'm doing it as an independent author here just to test the waters and see what it's like and learn a little bit more about how the other side lives. And maybe that's the right thing for me in some capacity down the road. So, you know, for me, one episode at a time, that's exactly what I did. So when you read it, it's designed for shorter reads, something you could read on the bus or the train on the way to work or in between things and knock them out a little bit more quickly than my typical reads, where some of my chapters can be 5,000 to 8,000 words long. Some of these chapters are closer to 1,000, 1,500 words. So it's a little bit more digestible episodically. And that's what I was getting at.
Oh, nice. And then it'll come out as an actual book if someone wanted to buy the book sometime in the future. Well, that's great.
Yep, that's correct. We hope that the book is out later on this year as part of our launch for some of those origin stories that I was telling you about.
Excellent. And you mentioned you're going to have a video game. I have a son that loves video games. When is that coming out and where can people get it once it comes out?
Sure. So the video game is a little different than most might expect. It's going to be an augmented reality and virtual reality video game. The AR version will come out in late 2025 and the VR version will come out in late 2026. So if you've played Pokemon Go on the street, that's a lot of what the augmented reality stuff is going to be like. So you'll be able to create your own avatar and your character in the video game, as well as play it anywhere you go. As long as you have your phone on you, you'll be able to play the game and conquer the challenges. And some of those challenges, as your characters level up, you'll also be rewarded in the real world by turning some of those rewards that you might find in the Dragon's Chamber into a discount at some of our sponsors. And then the VR version will come out in late 2026. They'll both be available by downloads on your computer, downloads on your gaming system and or your phone. We've got a couple of partners in this, including Niantic, which is the company that owns Pokemon Go. So it's something that's been, people are familiar with and know how to play it. And it's going to be a lot of fun, but I think it'll be interesting because this is something that you'll be able to create your own avatar with and grow as a character and level up like you're playing a role-playing game while also playing a video game, which is a cool convergence of the two together.
And it'll be obviously multiplayer then.
Yes.
Right?
That's correct.
Yeah. So you'll be able to interact with other people that are also playing the game at the same time.
Yeah, that's right. And I like the idea of liken it to Ready Player One, where you can go into the Oasis. The company that's making this is called Melderverse. And that's kind of what they do, where you know you can pick up a character that's playing in my game. And when they release five other games that are similar, you can migrate from the realm of Warminster into a sci-fi world, into a sports world, into whatever, as part of that, as you go into the meld, as they call it. And we'll just be one of the first games that come out of the meld that you'll be able to play and then take your characters through and level up at other places as well.
Wow. That's amazing. So that's coming out in 2025 and 2026, is what you said, right?
That's right.
Okay, great. So I think that's it, all the questions I have at the end of our episode. So is there any last things you want to tell our listeners about the series, about the book, maybe about feedback you've gotten from other readers?
Yeah. So, you know, when I started this, I really started it thinking it was going to be one single book. But when I was approached by a publisher to publish it, it was obvious to me that many fantasy adventures are trilogies, they're series. And now that I've gotten into it and based on the popularity of it, we're going to continue to grow it. I'm not going to leave anybody by the side of the road. The adventure's not going to end. Many, not all, but many of your main characters are going to make it through and into the second series and some of the spinoffs. And I also think that the adoption of the series into the other medium that I mentioned before, the video games and or the graphic novels, will also help it grow a bit in popularity. So looking forward to that. And again, if you have any questions or look for any releases, you can find me at jbhilliard.com, and or my socials are really easy. It's at jbhilliardbooks, or just look me up at jbhilliard. I'm the only one out there, so you'll find me. And if it looks like an author page, you're on the right page.
Great. We'll put a link to your website on the blog. We'll do a blog for the author spotlight. So if listeners, if you also want to find his page, you can go to our Book Interrupted blog, www.bookinterrupted.com/blog. And if you look up the author spotlight series, then you'll be able to find him and his links. I'm glad that you're continuing because I'm also one of the people that have got hooked on a series. Once you get hooked, you just want to absorb everything you can get from that series. And then it ends and you're like, oh. Over.
I know. Like, when I wrote the book, I expected it to be, it was like a bucket list thing. And then all of a sudden it's a career, you know, and you can't stop. I think the Beatles famously once said, you can release that first record whenever, but after that, you've got to be on top of it, right? Next, because people expect that. And the same thing happens with books, especially in these days. I think attention spans and patience, because you can binge watch stuff on Netflix. People want stuff immediately with their phones and the internet. They want that. And it's hard to write epic fantasy that way. Things aren't immediate. They take time to develop. And it's a lot of writing and a lot of editing and a lot more rewriting and stuff like that. So you try to do it as fast as you can. But I'm with you there. I'm not leaving anybody on the side of the curb. We're all good.
Yeah, that's great. Shonda Rhimes actually said, when you say that you just have to keep on going, she said that the train's coming. So you have to lay the track. Like, it's coming. You have to keep on just being ahead of it. Once people start absorbing, like, it is great for our listeners because now there's three books that they can read before the fourth comes out. So they can kind of get that satisfaction instead of waiting in anticipation for that next book a year later. So, but yeah, the train keeps on coming. You just got to lay that track.
Yeah, it does. It does. And look, the pace is torrid. It would be different if I was putting out a 25, 30,000 word, you know, it's not, you know, these things are monstrous endeavors. It was okay before to take a year to do it. Sometimes even two. This time is different aspect altogether.
Yeah. I mean, creating a whole world, I'm sure, is not easy. By any means.
No.
Yeah. And I can see how people would want to know every backstory. Like, you wonder about the characters after you put down the book, even secondary characters. So I can see that you would be bombarded with people being like, well, what's their backstory? You're like,
every convention I go to, it's the same questions. Where did this character come from? Why did you kill that character? Like, how are they so bad? You know, it's like, well, you'll find out if you finish a series where they came from. But if you really want the story, I'll give you the story and an origin story. And then you'll know why they went from good to bad and what forced them. And are they going to choose the redemption arc, or are they Darth Vader, or are they not Darth Vader? They're going to just continue to go down the path of villainy, right? But it's funny how they ask it all the time, so there's almost an expectation for it. And so I'm trying to placate that a little bit for my readers and give them some time to read something that's relevant while I'm writing the next thing, that's down the road. It's just going to take a while to get through. That's the lesson I learned from this in the beginning, is as epic fantasy goes, it is really, really hard to keep pace.
Yeah, I can imagine. This season, we're reading books that have been made into movies, and we read The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes. The only reason for that book, I'm sure, is people want to know why President Snow became evil. That's the only reason that book exists. That's what it made me think of when you were saying that. Like, people just want to know, like, how did that guy become so bad? We want answers.
It's funny how the first book of the origin story spinoff is about one of my villains. And it's because people ask me at every single show, without fail, where did he come from? Why is he this way? And you pick up stuff, you figure it out by book three, but they want to see it happen, that preview. And so that's what this first book is called, The Black Rose. It's about an assassin, and he's called The Black Rose because he leaves a single black rose on everybody that he kills, the people that he's purposefully out to kill, put it that way. And, they want to know the symbolism behind it. By book three, they start to figure that stuff out. But really, it's the front end of that where they want in. One lady said to me one time, please don't kill him. He's your Boba Fett. And I'm like, yeah, but Boba Fett dies in Star Wars. So it's all right. It's okay. And sometimes that makes for a better, more believable story. So yeah.
Last season we did banned books, and Margaret Atwood has a book called The Handmaid's Tale. And she said people created reasons for her characters. And she's like, if that origin story that you created works for you, great. She's like, that was not my intention. I never even thought that far ahead. But readers come up with, especially in made up worlds, explanations for things that maybe don't have any.
Yeah, no, I try to offer those explanations as best I can. I like epic fantasy so much. There's always the next dot to connect to, and afterward, what happens and things like that. But I also think that sometimes it's okay to leave a little bit of mystery, but you're right. They'll do that. I've had offers to write fan fiction. And I'm like, before you write fan fiction, at least let me finish the first series. You don't know what happens, so how are you going to write toward it? Like, let me finish it first, and then you can start to write from there. But check in with me, because you might be wrong about what's happening next or what already happened, because it's a fantasy world, right? And you just give me some time to build it out. And people just want to be involved in it. I get a lot of fan art. It's really humbling in many respects. And what makes it cool for me is when someone nails a character, they send you something that they've taken time out of their day or their weeks in some cases to made something, and they give it to you at a convention or a book signing, or they email it to you, and you're like, holy cow, this is like 90% of exactly what I pictured in my head. And it's almost like a police sketch artist, right? They're that good. I enjoy that kind of stuff. So I don't mind, doing it. In fact, now I'm obsessed with kind of doing it and building the world, especially as it kind of grows in popularity. I'm hoping that, it does kind of connect, and maybe one day I'll get a movie like them too.
That's great. You should. We'll put that out there. Anyone wants
hopefully, fingers crossed, right? Fingers crossed.
Anybody wants to write a screenplay? He's open.
I'm listening. Listening. Yep.
Okay, great. Well, thanks for coming on the show. I really appreciate it. And once again, everyone, you can go to our website, bookinterrupted.com/shop, and pick up his book, The Last Keeper, and read that series. Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you again for having me. I really appreciate it. It was a fun time, and I'm glad to be able to talk to you and your listenership.
Great. Thank you for joining us on this episode of Book Interrupted. If you'd like to see the video highlights from this episode, please go to our YouTube channel, Book Interrupted. You can also find our videos on www.bookinterrupted.com.
Hi, this is Leah of Book Interrupted. Did you know I illustrated a book for a self-published author? The Book Interrupted team is interested in reaching out to more self-published authors. You scratch our backs, we'll scratch yours. Go to bookinterrupted.com/sponsorship. Thanks. Bye.
Book Interrupted.
Never forget, every child matters.